Thank you. It's with joy that I come before you this evening and see you here. Not because I'm the speaker, but it's a joy in my heart to see those who have a desire to come and to speak one with another and to bear witness one with another of eternal life and of the hope that we have within us. My brother, as he spoke this morning, he covered some of the things that I was going to cover. That's the way the Lord works. And as I sat there, I sat with joy as he began to speak of that living God that's so very much alive and so quick to hear the calls of his children and to extend his holy hand to administer and to verify the fact that his love and compassion and mercy and tenderness is here today. Just like it was in the yesterdays, and like it will be on the tomorrows. When we have that faith and call upon him. I'm grateful that he read the scriptures that verifies the fact that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful thought that you and I, today, in this 2006, has a God of love this quick in his mercy, and that even in the imperfections of his children, they're the recipients of his love and tender compassion. I rejoice having the opportunity to meet with those who believe and have experienced, as you heard our brother talk this morning, have experienced those things wherein that we recognize that living God, opposite of what a lot of the world teaches, that he's done his work and he's no longer alive. He's done his work all right, and he's going to continue to do so henceforth and forever. So we have a joy wherein that we can call upon his holy name and come and visit with him and know that he hears our voice. And know that he's interested in us, each one of us. There's not a one in this room that's not precious to Him, because we're His children. And He's interested in our welfare. He's interested in the race that we're running for life, to where we're at on the track of eternal life. He's interested wherein that we might think upon Him and set our minds upon Him and not of the things of the world, but come and hear His voice, that He might direct us, that He might encourage and strengthen us day by day, that we might have that joy to walk with Him, even as we heard our sisters sing tonight. Can you imagine holding the hand of your Lord and walking with Him? What a peace would flood your soul. And what strength you would gather. What desires would flood your heart and your mind and your spirit to be what He would have you to be, to walk in that way, that He might continue. As my brother was speaking there today, I sat, and of course, my mind wandered back over the many experiences I've had spiritually of that living God. And he talked about our late brother, Marvin Ely, how he quieted the wind. And I looked just to his right there, and I saw Dwayne sitting there, and I thought about the time that Dwayne and I was welding down in the bottom of a wheel, big generating wheel. And the smoke was just terrible. And it was so hot, you couldn't hardly stand it. And so we stopped and we prayed. And we asked God to cause a breeze to come and to clean out that smoke and to cool it off. And immediately, from the tail rays of the water came a breeze and come and cleaned out the smoke and cooled it down. Didn't it, Dwayne? That He's a God that hears the prayers of His children. And that's something that we have to keep in mind all the time. That He knows our voice. Each one of us here, He knows your voice. And your voice is precious to Him. When you speak, when you talk to Him, your voice is precious unto Him. Just like it is to the mothers and fathers and grandparents and uncles and aunts in this room, when our little ones talk to us, you lend an ear. And so does God lend an ear to His children as they cry out unto Him and speak to them. And it's important that we keep that in mind constantly, that we don't walk alone. That He has sent a comforter called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, that is to remain with us forever. And that comforter will speak to your heart and to your mind and to your soul and to edify us and to teach us, to encourage us. It might even say, no, no, don't do that. Your conscience speaks that you shouldn't do this or you should do that. These things are important for us to remember, that He's here daily. And differently than the rest of us in time past when I worked, and those in this audience that work today, we have hours that we work and times we go home, and God works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days in a year for His children, for you and I. And He's willing and ready to reach down and to touch and to administer to strengthen and to teach. I want to start this evening with a scripture that's on page 11 in your Book of Mormon. And it's the story that those of us who have read the Book of Mormon and have got into it is when Nephi and his brothers were sent back to get the records. And the man tried to kill him several times. And you know, it's an odd thing that they got away. But when he went back this time, why, the man was drunk. And the Spirit of the Lord told Nephi, said, kill him. And Nephi said, no, hey, I've never spilled blood. I can't do that. And I'm going to read to you here why the Lord said that. I'm going to start in the 110th verse. And it came to pass that I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill Laban. But I said in my heart, never at any time have I shed the blood of man. And I shrunk and would that I might not slay him. And the Spirit saith unto me again, behold, the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Yea, and I also knew that he had sought to take away mine own life. Yea, and he would not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord. And he also had taken away our property. And it came to pass that the Spirit said unto me, again, slay him, for the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth his righteous purpose. And you know, throughout all the scriptures, you find where the Lord slayed the wicked. And sometimes he even used the wicked to slay them. Didn't he, Glenn? That he had a purpose. And that purpose was to save our souls and the souls of the children of men. And if there was something that was restricting that spirit and that word of the gospel of Christ to going forth, many times he wanted to silence the voice of Satan, that the people would hear his voice and recognize his voice, like the Lord said, and know not the voice of a stranger. But they would follow him. They would walk with him, as they say. That they would go forth with them. And that he would direct them and direct their path. And we know that if he's directing our path, it's to eternal life. We recognize that. No discussion. We know that if Christ is directing our old footsteps, that it will be on the path, the narrow path to eternal life. It will be on the path that allows us to break the banner of the race that we're running for eternal life. That we could do that and have the power to do that and the endurance to do that and not fall on the wayside, tired, beat up, but that we would have the strength to continue to run, that we might run the race of eternal life. And you know, there might be a bunch of these young people, or maybe some of us old people in this room or you meet out in the world, they don't want to run that race, whether they like it or not. They better get into that race, because we're going to be judged. And we're going to be judged by the Holy Word of God. That's what's going to judge us. This word that they sent back to get, the law of Moses and the law of the prophets and of those things, we're going to be judged by that word. It's not what we say necessarily. We can say all kinds of stuff. But he says they're going to know us by our fruits. They're going to know us by how we apply the gospel of Christ to our life. And how true that is. I want to tell you of an experience I had when I was in Africa. We'd been working down in Tanzania. And I was at the customs from Tanzania trying to get back into Kenya. And they were asking me 172 questions. And the man was sitting there behind the desk asking me, and Elder Moses walked in. And when he walked in, I reached over and I patted him on the arm, and the man behind the desk that was asking me all those questions, he looked at me and he says, do you know this man? I said, yes. I said, I've been with him for the last few works. I'm working with him. He reached over and he got his stamp like that, and he stamped my passport. And he says, that's a good man. He's a good minister. That people can see us by our actions. That people tell by our actions, not by what we say, but it's what we do that's important. It's how we apply the gospel of Christ to our life. It's very important. And when we're applying the gospel of Christ to our life and we have a peace about us, it's recognized by the world, because most people don't carry a peace. Most people don't have that peace of the Lord and the quietness of spirit. A lot of people get all excited and they have problems. But to those who know the Lord, know that we can go to Him and speak to Him and talk to Him. And we know that He cares. And so we can lay our burdens at His feet and be yoked with our Christ. And that when we're yoked with Him, He will help us to pull our burdens, that we might be able to overcome the power of Satan and the weight that he has for us to pull, and the problems that he causes in the world today and in the lives of those who even profess to know Christ and to follow after Him. But when we're yoked with the Lord, we can walk, we can pull, and we can walk with Him, because we're yoked with Him and we can walk with Him. 114th verse. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth His righteous purposes. It is better, I want us to listen to this now. This is how important it was to the Lord that you and I today would have this word, that would have the word of the gospel, the Bible, and the Book of Mormon. It was important to Him. It was important to Him that He gave you that opportunity to choose Him over Satan, and to walk in the prescribed way that He has prescribed, that we might be able to go and to live with Him from all eternity to all eternity. He said, it is better that one man should perish than that a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. It was important that they had the Word. It was important that they had the directions of God, that they could take Him with them, that they had the opportunity to pray and to study and to know God and to know His Son and to know what's required of them, that we could understand. Now, I know that there's things in the Scriptures and there's things that we don't fully understand. In some places, it's not completely clear, we might say. But there is one thing I do know, that the Scriptures verify and teach those things clearly that's essential for our soul's welfare. For those things that's essential for you and I to apply and to understand, they're clear and pure. Because that was His purpose, is to save our soul. That was His desire, that we would know. 117th verse. Yea, and I also thought that they could not keep the commandments of the Lord according to the law of Moses, save, they should have the law. Isn't that true? How could you keep the law of Christ today? Because we're talking about 600 B.C. here. Now we're talking about 2006 A.D. that Christ had come. He had given the law. Okay. How could you keep it if you didn't have it, if you didn't understand it? What happened when they went and they found the Amalekites there that didn't take the law with them? They were having problems, weren't they? Yeah. They were getting away from God and they were having trouble with their language. It's a good thing Mosiah come along and those brothers and sisters that had the law. And you and I are blessed today to have the law of God. We carry it in our satchel. We have it laid on our table at home or beside our bed. We have it there. But of what value is it unless we use it? Unless you study it. If they took this law of Moses at this particular time and didn't do anything with it, what good is it if I take these two books and I carry them around and keep them all dusted and everything, but I never read what's inside of them? Of what value is it to us? It's something that we've got to study and to seek to come to the knowledge of what God requires of us so that we would know how to walk with Him and have Him walk with us. So that we wouldn't be like an old horse we're trying to break out to keep trying to go the other way and go some other way, and you have to fight him back and forth all the time. Sometimes in our life, that's the way we are. We want to take our bit in the mouth and go where we want to go instead of where the Lord wants us to go in our life. Sometimes we've already made up our minds what we're going to do. And so we're going to go that way, whether we like it or not. Don't make any difference what the Word says. We have to apply the Word because we're going to be judged by that Word. This Word that I hold before you, these two witnesses of Jesus Christ and God the Father, is going to judge us at the last day. It's going to have to do whether we have eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ, or whether we are going to be tormented day and night with Satan in his kingdom. What's your choice? What's our choice? What's my choice? What choice do we have if we're going to be judged by them? Wouldn't we desire to know what we're going to be judged by? If we're going to run the test of eternal life and we're going to take that test and we're going to stand before our teacher, even Jesus Christ, then we're going to want to know what he taught. We're going to want to know how to apply it to our life. We're going to call on him to help us in our weaknesses. We're going to recognize as we study the Holy Scriptures our nothingness and His greatness, and that we are constantly dependent upon Him. Even for the breath of life that you and I take at this time, we're constantly dependent on our Lord. Without Him, we're of no value and we're of no good. If we're to be of value, it's because we have allowed the potter to mold the clay. We have recognized that we have to be molded by His holy hand and have the hard parts in our heart and those things that's not according to these holy scriptures plucked from us, that our heart would be soft, that our heart would be charity, that our heart would be His heart. The desire that all mankind might hear the holy word of the Lord and be able to understand it, that they might be ready to tell anybody why they have the hope that's within them. How can you do that if you don't know it yourself? How can you? How can you tell somebody why you had the hope that's within you? Why can you tell somebody why you believe the Book of Mormon or that you believe the Bible if you don't know yourself? That's like having somebody come over and say, are those apples any good? Oh, yeah, boy, they're really something else. You know, Well, have you eaten any? No. Well, how do you know they're not sour? Oh, I don't know. It's important that we know the law. It's important not only for ourselves, but for our families and for those that we might run into in the grocery store or at work or wherever we're at, that we might not miss an opportunity to proclaim the holy word of God, to fulfill this very scripture that he says we are to witness him, and that we would be ready to witness him and tell him why we have the hope that's within us in meekness and fear. That we might not only do that, you know, the Apostle Paul says those who preach the gospel must live the gospel. How true that is. The scripture says that by the foolishness of preaching, souls are saved. How true that is. By the testimonies, like you heard this morning, by testimonies, it inspires others to continue to run the race. By the testimonies, that Spirit inspires us to have the desire to live, that we too might experience those things in the Lord. And we have that opportunity, each one of us, to experience those things. Each one of us have that opportunity. And so how important it is that we come, and how important it is that as we come here, that we realize that each one of us in this room is really blessed, because we have a small knowledge of the gospel of Christ and a hope in our heart and a desire in our heart to learn more of him, to learn of him, that we know what's required of us, that we would walk in that prescribed manner that he has laid before us through the generations of time that caused men and women to receive the gifts of God and to recognize his holy power and be embraced in his love and tender compassion, and to be guided and directed and encouraged and led by that Holy Spirit and by the Son of the living God. How important that is. And that's important to all of our lives. That's something that you don't want to put away. It's not something that you think, well, I'll check on that later, or something like that. You know, in the 6th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, in the 11th verse, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." You know, there's a lot of things in this old world, and the reason he made that was, he said, you know, you're worried about what you're going to wear, you're going to worry about what you're going to eat, you're going to worry about this, you're going to worry about that. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He knows we have to have clothes and a roof and something to eat and something over our head, but he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. How important that is. It might not be maybe what you and I want. It might not be a great big beefsteak, or it might not be a whole bunch of green chili burros, or it might not be some of the things, but it would be that which would sustain the physical body. Well, God has a food to feed us. It's called the living manna. And it's full of vitamins for strength. It's full of strength that we might be able to continue and not fall by the wayside, but that we would do even as he commanded, where we might be able to go and to enter in his kingdom, that we might be able to endure to the end. And that strength comes from Christ. You and I can't generate it. We can't make that vitamin pill. We can't, because it's the grace of God that holds those things. It's that power that comes when people have decided in their heart and in their mind to receive the gospel of Christ and to have that faith that our brother talked about this day, that faith. You know, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if you read the 6th verse, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That we first have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. Take notice that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. How true. Because when you diligently seek Him, you see the proofs that causes the faith to turn into knowledge of the gospel of Christ. You see the evidence of the power of His love. You see those things. You see the fulfillment of the prophecies that's been brought over the generations of time, that they're fulfilled, and you can see them where they've been fulfilled in today, their modern history or their history of the yesterdays. And we can see the fulfillment of those things. Look at the things that's happened in this world in this last year and in these last few months, of the tornadoes, of the storms, of the things that has hit the world and tore things all to pieces. You reckon that that is a sign of the fulfillment of prophecy when Christ said that these things were going to happen? That there would be earthquakes, that there would be famines, pestilence. Do you think that that isn't something that we're living in the day that we have a right to see the beginning of the fulfillment of the Holy Scripture? Just exactly like the Church of Christ lay dormant more or less for a while, but now God has decided it is to stretch forth His wings and fly to the nations of the world and to proclaim the holy word of Christ and to edify the souls of the children of men of the path that they must walk to have eternal life. And so you and I are living in that period of time. We're living in the period of time the prophets wanted to live in so much because they could see the fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. Those Scriptures, like Peter said, those prophecies that came not by the will of man of old, but when holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost to pen. Those. And so you and I are living in that day, that each moment when we wake up in the morning, We have a reason for our heart to jump with joy. We have a reason to rejoice, knowing that we're living in the period of time that we see the hand of God moving upon the nations of the earth. That we can see the fulfillment of those holy scriptures that He has prophesied and caused to be written and preserved them to edify us. That we can come and read them and know that they are true. And so I feel that as we have the opportunity to gather together, as we have an opportunity to go out to the nations of the world, we have a right to preach a gospel of life. A gospel of an unchanging God, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To know that if we call upon Him in faith, believing for those things that are good, that we would receive them. To know that it requires a righteous walk. And if we're walking with Christ, and if Christ is walking with us, I don't think we're going to be trying to push Him away. I think we would have the desire to walk righteously before our Lord, to do the things and to go the places, or to not go the places that He'd rather we would not go, but that we would live the life that would be pleasing before Him. That's what we're here for. We're here to choose whom we may serve. We're here to make a choice to who we want to live with from all eternity to all eternity. And you might say, well, I don't want to make that choice, but you're making it whether you like it or not. We all are. We're making that choice. You say, hey, boy, that's hard stuff. We're making that choice. So when we're choosing this day whom we shall serve, who is our Lord? And who are we choosing to follow? Who are we choosing to obey? Is it the one that tells us that we are to pray for charity in these last days? That love that's gentle and kind, that's forgiving? That love, that power, or the one of hate and discontent and strife and heartache and fears and sadness, everything other than the Spirit of Christ of joy and of peace? And so it's important as we come, it's important as we have the opportunity to come and to hear the Word of God, that we come with a heart that's full of joy, that we might be like a child and skip those of us that walk here, that I know I didn't, but those of you that can walk, that we would be happy to skip to church, to sing His praises, to ask Him to walk with us, that we would bring a spirit that as we gather together here and come in a unity as we are this night, that the spirit and the desire of our heart would be an invitation to God to come into our midst and to caress each heart. That we would have a greater desire when we leave this house of prayer, a greater desire to walk according to the standard of our Lord, to walk according to the standard of our life and the direction that we must go. That we would beg Him to take from our eyes those things that would cause us not to see. That we would be able to spiritually see those things, that we might be able to converse one with another and with those about us throughout the world, and tell them of why we have the hope that's within us. And that they could see that you believe in that hope by the very way that you live your life, the very fruit that you possess and that you give and the way you live your life, that if they were to eat of it, that it would sustain the soul, that it would strengthen them and give them a desire to hold the hand of their Lord. It give them a desire to yield. We've got a lot of beautiful promises in the Holy Scripture. We're living in the period of time when the Lord says there in the Book of Mormon and Jacob, He says that He sent them out to prune the vineyard for the last time. And He gathered His servants together and He says, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard told them to go out and to prune with all their might. And the Lord of the vineyard would go with them. Can you imagine what it would be like to try to preach the gospel or go out to go any place and the Lord of the vineyard didn't go with you? How would you like to be out there on your own? We wouldn't like that, would we, Gordon? We need to go with the Lord. We need to have His direction. We need to have Him lead us. We have to be willing to listen as well as call upon His holy name. We have to lend an ear to His voice, that we will know how to follow, that He would lead us, and that we wouldn't know the voice of a stranger, as the Lord said. that old Satan, that old devil, that old beast, that individual that has a desire to destroy every soul that's in this room, like the Lord has a desire to save every soul that's in this room, He has a desire to destroy all of us, to lead us astray, to take us someplace else, to gently lead you until you have us chained and bound, that there's no deliverance. It's important that we trim that flaxen cord before it gets to the place where it's a chain, where it gets to the place that we no longer even have a desire to follow our Lord. But that every day that we wake up and throughout all the day until we go to sleep at night, that we'll have a desire in our heart to follow the Lord. That we'll have that prayer in our heart all the day long. That we will recognize that everything that we enjoy all the day long, that we enjoy and have happiness from, it's been given to us from the Lord. It says that all good things come from the Lord. And you know, as I gather together here and I've thought about it, a lot of times I feel like myself, I have been richly blessed. Because I have an opportunity to come here and see you, my brothers and sisters. And know that you have a desire to follow the Lord. And to know that we have a bond that the world don't have. How beautiful we have been richly blessed. To know that if I've got problems, I can say, Bill, pray for me. And I know Bill will pray for me. Gordon, pray for me. That I know. Crystal, pray for me. Yes. There's a lot of the world doesn't have that opportunity. There's a lot of the world that hasn't heard yet about their Savior. There's a lot of the world that don't even know that He exists. And how terrible that is. Because you know, where is their hope? And so as we gather together here tonight, I can't tell you something that's new, because the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those things that was essential for our soul's welfare, He has caused to be written in this holy word. He's caused to be written in this holy word. This is the blueprint of eternal life. This is the blueprint right here. You know, watching them build a house over there for my daughter Patricia and for Isaac and them. You know, sometimes they get off the blueprint and they have something, they have to tear it all out and do something again and one thing and another, you know, to put it back in and have it right and everything. If you get off of this blueprint, you better stop. You better make it right. Because this is the blueprint to eternal life. This is the blueprint that when the master builder comes, He's going to open up this blueprint and He's going to judge us according to our works. You know, when they come to Christ in the 13th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, they ask the Lord, you know, what type of man should I be? And the Lord says, even as I am. That means He loved the sinners. It's a good thing, isn't it? He didn't love what they did that was a sin. but he loved the sinners. And that's why in the Book of Mormon he tells us, he said, I come to redeem you. He says, I come to redeem you not in sin, but from sin. That through the blueprints of life, we would know the do's and don'ts of eternal life that the Lord has brought before us. And that he come to redeem us not in sin. He didn't come to redeem us of being a drunkard. He didn't come in here to redeem us and robbing banks. He didn't come in here to redeem us committing adulteries and the fornications and all these things. He didn't come for that. He come to bring this law and set them back to get this law that this nation today wouldn't fall. That you and I wouldn't fall. That we would know the law of God. And that we would know what he classifies as sin and iniquity. And put it out of our life. And not walk that way. To not walk blind. To not walk in the darkness. But that you and I would know how we could walk. That we would bear a light. That would glorify our Father which is in heaven. That we could walk in a manner that would cause him joy. Instead of heartache, cause him to smile and cause him to say, that's my son or my daughter there below. And so as we have the opportunity in this nation yet to gather together and to worship the Lord, we have the opportunity to go in our own closets and talk to the Lord. As we have our own opportunity to reach out to him and to study and tell him, you know, lead me. Isn't that what the Lord says in the 14th chapter of St. John? He says, that Spirit, that Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth, he says, he will teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded. That Holy Ghost will teach us those things. He says, the world can't receive it. They don't believe in it. They can't receive it. They haven't taken the steps. They haven't kept his commandments. When he says, you love me, keep my commandments, they haven't done that. They haven't looked at their life. They haven't studied the scriptures to know the do's and don'ts that's required of our Heavenly Father. They haven't repented. They haven't entered in the waters of baptism that he says so essential and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They haven't done that. So they're on their own. They study with man's wisdom. They teach with man's understanding. They don't teach like the Book of Mormon tells you that they teach it through the power and gift of the Holy Ghost, and that Spirit carries it to the hearts of men. Oh, it says that a lot of them cast it down and won't receive it, but it carries it there. And so the important thing that we have to remember is that we have a God that has done everything possible to save us. He's done everything possible to save us. He has sent his Son to die for us. He has sent his Son to live a life that we could see as an example. He has caused holy men to write and to pen to edify us in this dispensation of time and the future and the past, that we would know him and recognize that he is a God of love, a God of compassion and power, that we can see the beauties of the gospel of Christ, and as well, we can see the horror, the terrible things, if we rebel against our God. Those promises will either be for us. They'll either be for us to draw us into the holy kingdom. or they're going to deny us and damn us because we didn't listen and we wanted to obey our own will and go our own way. And so that holy word that we have and we carry with us, it can either help us or it can reject us. That's why it's so important for us to study. Like the scripture says, study to show yourself approved. How important that is. My prayer is that we will always have a desire to visit with our Lord. That we will always have a desire to study and to seek, because the more we study, we run across more things that we learn all the time. We study something, golly, I've read that before, but I didn't get all that out of it like I did tonight. Because the Spirit is there to direct you. What a difference. And when we're trying to live our life, we must not try to live it by ourselves. We must call upon the Lord to strengthen us, to hold us in the hollow of His holy hand, to encourage us, that we might be able to overcome and to endure the end in His love and compassion. My time is gone. I have a lot more I'd like to tell you. And every bit of it is about a loving God. A loving God that loves you. Each one of us in this room. And His hope, He says we should have hope. His hope is that we will yield to Him. That He will be able to say to us, enter ye in, my servant, my faithful one.